Hello, everyone. Welcome to the First World Manila podcast. This is pretty self-explanatory. This is the podcast version of First World Manila. It's differentiated from the First World Manila vlog, which is more of a video venture that's posted on YouTube, even though this podcast is audio but also hosted on YouTube as well. As opposed to the First World Manila vlog, this podcast is really just me talking informally about issues in economic and urban development to really bring up the Philippines place, Manila and the Philippines place in the world, so that we have a beautiful city and country and also an economy that raises the overall standard of living for every citizen. For those who are just joining us, First World Manila is a brand that seeks to make economic and urban development issues interesting to the broader voting public, so that the idea is that the voting public is more engaged with policies. After all, it's policies, at the end of the day, it's really policies and their implementation that'll help move the Philippines up. So as I've stated in my vlog before, that ideally enough of the voting public will be interested in policies so that regardless of who becomes president or who's elected president, the overall policies are implemented and are continued to be implemented regardless of whether the current president's term is over or not. There has to be some continuation and execution. So that is a goal of First World Manila, is to make these issues interesting. And I mentioned briefly that First World Manila has a vlog, which is on YouTube, which you can watch, and you just go to YouTube and search First World Manila and you'll see the channel. So currently First World Manila is right now comprised of a YouTube channel, a vlog, right? That's one. Second is this podcast, which is also going to be broadcasted on YouTube as well. And third would be the fine art exhibits, including the one I used last year to launch the First World Manila brand. So that's what I'm doing so far, and I'm planning a few more things in the future. By the way, my name is Ramon Rodrigo Calacuenca, CFA, and I am the founder and director of First World Manila. I am formerly an equities research analyst from a private bank in Singapore. I've grown up in the U.S. and the Philippines, and I've lived and worked in both countries. I've also studied in France and Singapore and worked in Singapore as well. So that's my background. For those of you who didn't watch the First World Manila vlog episode 1, my academic and professional background includes an undergraduate degree from the University of Chicago in international studies, which includes international political economy and hence economic development. So that's my academic background. My professional background includes equity research, meaning stock research in the region, including in the Southeast Asian region, including the Philippines. So even though I've been involved in international studies and in finance, a lot of my research and analysis, both in my academic and professional background, has included understanding the impact of policies in economic development, including those in the Philippines. So that's where I'm coming from. So again, I've launched this brand. This was launched last year. I also draw and paint, by the way. So I did a fine art exhibit last year to launch this brand, First World Manila. Again, using podcasting, vlogging, and fine art to make economic and urban development policies interesting and engaging to a wider audience, who will hopefully vote for the right ones over the long term and meaningfully and secularly really improve the standard of living here in Manila and in the Philippines. Okay. So that's a quick intro on me. Let's see. Again, I'm reading off for this podcast. I'm just reading off my notes for every topic I do here. This podcast, by the way, the First World Manila podcast, is going to be maybe ideally I'd like it to be out every other day during the week. We'll see how that goes, as opposed to the YouTube vlog for First World Manila, which is once a month. So this is going to be much more frequent than the fully edited videos, which you'll see once a month. But also, again, this podcast will be available also in in video format on YouTube, on the First World Manila YouTube channel. Okay. So reading up my notes. Okay, so today's topic is going to be on can we fix the Philippines? So this is sort of a follow-up to First World Manila Vlog Episode 1, which was how to fix the Philippines. This podcast is a rejoinder asking, can we really fix it? For those of you who didn't watch the First World Manila Vlog Number 1, Episode 1, I came to the conclusion basically that there are a lot of good and well-intentioned people, both inside and outside of government, who have good ideas, and it's just a question of the government efficiently implementing them and continuing to implement them, regardless of who becomes president and even after the current president's term. So what we want, ideally, is sound policy that is executed efficiently and over the long term. So, but the question is, can that actually happen? And I mean, after all, ideas are a dime a dozen. I think Steve Jobs said something like that before he passed away, that everyone can come up with a good idea, more or less, but it's very, very hard to execute. What more so if you're a country? So, can we do this? Can we execute? Can we fix the Philippines? Well, I like to address this question by breaking the problem down into two parts. The first part is, what are these policies exactly that we want to have implemented? Which is a good question because in the video, the vlog, the first episode, I actually kind of glazed over it because basically wrapping it up into three bullet points. I mean, as based on what sort of the problems are for doing business here in the Philippines, number three is a corruption. Number two is infrastructure, but the number one obvious problem is a government efficiency. So under those broader three bullet points, sort of all the different policies would fall under, in my opinion. So that's how I want to structure my argument and how and make this sort of plan structured and understandable to a broader audience. By the way, for those who are just joining now, I'm as a rough benchmark of how the Philippines does, I'm using the WEF, the World Economic Forum's Global Competitiveness Survey to roughly benchmark how well the Philippines is doing. And the reason why I choose economic competitiveness and basically ease of doing business is because generally speaking, in a country that's easier to do business, and of course there are other considerations, but in generally speaking, in a country that's easier to do business in, you'll find a government that can also that enacts the right policies more or less to get to improve its citizen standard of living. So it's a rough proxy, but it's the most concise one we have. Okay, so what are these policies that fall under making the Philippines more economically competitive and making it an easier place to do business? Okay, so actually the pro and the reason why so it turns out the reason why I sort of didn't really talk too much about the policies in particular in the video is because there's a lot of them, and in my opinion the best resource where everything's sort of tabulated and you can see like a step-by-step or by the numbers listing of all the policies that need to be enacted or are being enacted or are more moving back and forth in being enacted is actually in this website called Arangkada. Here we go. Let me just minimize myself here for those who aren't watching. Or sorry, for those who are listening and not watching the video, I'm showing a website now of Arangkada's website. So Arangkada Philippines. This is an advocacy set up by the Joint Foreign Chambers of Commerce to make it basically easier for people, including foreign companies, to do business in the Philippines. And again, maybe some of you are skeptical because these are foreign governments that want to do business in the Philippines, and obviously there are concerns about that. But of course, my view is that overall, these are sort of overall general prescriptions that just that are e that would make it easier for anyone to do business here in the Philippines. And in Manila, and again, a government that can make business easier, obviously, and obviously balancing other social concerns as well, and it's a balancing act, of course. Obviously, also, generally speaking, is able to provide a better standard of living for its citizens. So think of the US or Japan or Singapore. In the WEF's Global Competitiveness Survey, they rank higher than the Philippines. And if you guys watched the video, we actually rank number 56. So it's a rough benchmark, but that's where we have to move up on. Okay, so this is Arangkada Philippines, the website. The website is www.investphilippines.info. So that's the website you guys can check out. Again, that's www.investphilippines.info. That's the website. And Arangkada is obviously, as I said before, it's an advocacy. And they actually hold an annual forum for, I guess, maybe more influential business groups, etc., to sort of update everyone and that sector of society on how the Philippines is doing as far as progressing all these different policies. So every annual forum actually has, see, I'm scrolling up here, it actually has an annual report. This is in PDF format. Again, you can find this on Arangkada's website. By the way, I'm not at all affiliated with Arangkada, although I do know the person who runs it. So, but I have no other affiliation with Arangkada other than that, and I generally agree with what he's talking about. Okay, so the most recent forum and publication was in September 14, 2017. That issue was called Implementing the 10-Point Agenda, I'm assuming, which refers to the current administration's 10-Point Agenda for economic competitiveness. I have a Facebook message for some reason. Okay, anyways. So I just want to go over this with you guys really quickly. You can scroll down a bit for our audio-only listeners. I'm scrolling down the PDF, and I just want to point out that even though this is an advocacy by the Joint Foreign Chambers of Commerce, obviously the Philippine government has historically been involved and generally supported this endeavor. So you have a message from the current president and also the current secretary for trade and industry. So yeah, so it's not just a foreigner-only thing, is what I want to say for some of you who are skeptical. Also, and you look at if you scroll down to the very bottom, the list of sponsors, at the very end of this 142-page document, you'll actually see like Philippine companies and local organizations so sponsoring. Where is it? Here we go. Yeah, sponsors. Yeah, here we go. Actually sponsoring this. So there's some general consensus on the policies that have to be done to be implemented between businesses and the government and joint foreign chambers of commerce. So again, it's a very rough measure to see how we're doing, and it's for me it's the most comprehensive listing of what needs to be done. So as for the actual policies, I don't want to go over them too deep in this podcast. I'm just here. I mean, again, obviously, since this is a podcast and it's not a video, I can go deeper into the policy and what needs to be done. But I want to do those for future episodes. But I just want to briefly glance over some of this. See, I'm scrolling down to, okay, data, data, data. I'm scrolling down to the table of contents, ideally, if I can find it. Scrolling up. Do, 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 do. Okay, all these fancy charts here, which we can dig into later. Okay, but you get the idea. Here's an example of what's going on. Here's say like a current issue, for example. Let's see, exports and business process and sort of their recommendations of what needs to be done. So it's worth looking at here. And there's a color scheme that also shows how well the government's doing based on these recommendations. So even though you don't have to agree with all of it, you can also see generally where business associations are trying to go to make the Philippines an easier place to do business, and by extension, having a government that can provide opportunities and a higher standard of living for its citizens. Okay, so I don't want to go too much in depth. In future episodes, I'd like to go over some of these policies in more detail, and also go over the news and the current events and comment on that, and maybe tie it into these policies and what's going on, and also, of course, talk about, artsy stuff. This is obviously, I draw and paint, so it's it's I don't want to make this podcast too dry. Okay, so that's answering the first part of the problem of can we fix the Philippines, is that we actually have a rough database of the policies that need to be implemented. So there's that's sort of our compass. The next question is, can we actually execute it? Okay, this is sort of where this brand, First World Manila, comes in. I think I mentioned this earlier, but just to retread, First World Manila is a brand that makes urban economic development interesting to the broader public via YouTube videos, otherwise known as vlogging, this podcast, and also the fine art, because I draw and paint, and I actually launched the First World Manila brand in a fine art exhibit last year in Manila House. So that's in BGC. Manila House is a venue in BGC, and I'll talk a little about that later. So how can this brand, First World Manila, get things get these policies executed? Well, the brand, I and the brand cannot do it directly. The idea is to, again, as I've mentioned earlier, make the policies accessible and understandable to a wider audience. And my goal is to have it, the ideal situation is that enough people, enough of the public is interested in these policies so that these policy becomes a popular issue in voting in the elections, rather than just politics, which is obviously important, and obviously over personalities, which is probably, in my opinion, less important than politics and policies, but policies should be ideally tantamount in everything in the elections. And ideally, if enough people are educated and we all want the same, more or less the same policies, the ideal situation would be that whoever runs and whoever is elected president, the policies that they will enact or will continue to enact from the previous administration is still more or less the same. So that's the ideal situation. And that's where the execution comes in. Policy has to be a popular movement, and it is the mission of this brand, among other things, to make policy po interesting for people, and policy a popular issue for the voting public. So how would I go about doing this? I'm just one person. I obviously, the impact I can make is limited, but I want to go about it in a smart way. I mentioned a few minutes ago that I started in Manila House when I launched the brand last year. And Manila House is it's in Bonifacio Global City. It's a very high-end club, social club, and you sort of have the high end of Manila society there, and that's where I started. So maybe some of you wondering if this is something that I want to get out to the broader, if this message of popularizing policy is something I want to get out to the broader public. Why do I start with a high society or and the rich? The answer is because First World Manila is actually not like a bottom-up grassroots movement. It's a brand that's top-down. So I want to start from the highest echelons of society and move it further and further down among the educated class of people, and employ a structure that's more aspirational. And if you've seen my paintings, which you can on my website, these are shown in the exhibit in Manila House last year. I've painted a vision of what we could be. So, to get people interested in policy, regardless of where you are in society, I want people to be emotionally engaged and then follow through with the policy recommendations. So using that artwork and starting with high society here in Manila, the idea is to start small, and sort of build my way organically and start from the top and start going further and further down the income pyramid among the educated class here. And why just the educated class? Because it's a demographic I generally belong to, and it's an easier sell for them, and it's easier to explain what I'm doing. Some of you might be wondering, well, the Philippines is a poor country, and the majority of voting is done by poor people, and you're correct, and that is a concern. My answer to that is, so again, why start with the top? Why start with the rich and the middle, rich and upper and up and upper middle and middle class? The idea is that even though, in terms of voting numbers, the rich and the upper middle classes are small, numbers-wise, in general, they hold an outsized influence on the direction of the country. Think about it. These are the small and large, sorry, the medium and large business owners of the country, so they hold influence in that way. They also work in government and in the media. So even though we're this broad social class isn't very large, they're hugely influential. And the idea is to get everyone within this sphere on the same page, and then we can think about together and united, think about how we can obviously enact these policies and even popularize it among our less fortunate brethren. Okay, so that is the answer to the second part, how to execute. And it's again this top-down aspirational strategy, aspirational branding strategy. So it's a combination of things with First of Manila. It's the fine art, presenting a vision and tugging at people's heartstrings and revitalizing our culture. It's also the vlog, making it accessible to a larger audience, and it's also this podcast, which is more nuts and bolts policy oriented. So that's my goal. Okay, so to answer the question, can we fix the Philippines? Well, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm therefore optimistic. I would say yes, but it's going to be a slow process. Things aren't going to change overnight, but I want to keep my message of making an emotional argument for people to be interested in policy and help and hence make long-term economic and urban development policy a popular issue with enough people and with influential people. The idea is to keep that growing and growing and growing, to over the so that over the long term, we're actually getting somewhere. And for me, in my honest opinion, because we are a democracy, this is the only way to do it, is when enough people and enough influential people are on the same page with the right economic and urban development policies. And that's also, I mean, that's also, for me, there's no other way. The drawback of a democracy, obviously, is that there are so many voices that it's very hard to implement things, whereas you have in maybe in other countries that are essentially one-party states, like China, for example. China literally has a 5-year economic plan that they do every year, and they set their goals. Why can they do that? Because it's just one party controlling the entire country. Whereas in the Philippines, like the Philippines, which is a democracy, it's very messy, so it's very hard to get things implemented. So we are who we are. We're not China. We're a different society. We have a different history from China, and because we're a democracy, the only way forward is to get enough people to implement the correct long-term policies. And even though policies, economic policies, are intertwined with politics, my goal is to unintertwine them enough so that no matter what your politics are, we can at least all agree on some basic economic policies. Because that's really what's going to drive us forward and really improve everyone's standard of living here and provide jobs and a better standard of living for the people who need it the most, especially. Okay, so I think this podcast has gone on long enough. Before I end, this first episode of the First World Manila podcast, I'd like to add a little bit of culture here because another part of First World Manila is not just blind economic development. It's also revitalizing our culture and really revitalizing our national identity, which I talked about in the first vlog. So to do that, I'm gonna give a little cultural lesson of today, a little vocab lesson for in Tagalog and Spanish, our two other national languages. Because without an identity, without a vision of who we are and what we can be, then why would anyone go through the trouble of sticking around and really sticking it out with the long-term difficult economic policies? Okay, so here's a little bit of culture. Today's episode is brought to you by the word welcome. So in English, it's welcome. In Tagalog, it's or Filipino, it's mabuhay, and in Spanish, it's bienvenido. So welcome. Mabuhay. Bienvenido. Welcome to First World Manila. And thank you for listening. I will see you soon on this vlog. Hopefully very soon. And also don't forget to catch the monthly YouTube video and any other events that I do and any other products I create. I'll keep everyone posted. Please do follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook and also on Instagram. And I'm on YouTube. For those listening on the podcast, I'm sure there'll be an information blurb where you can find out more about how to follow me on social media. Okay, thank you very much and have a good evening.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.